Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yeah, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Infuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hello.
Show's namesake, BJ Shea, is on assignment, and running the boards is Joey Dees.
Hi.
Hello.
Wow. Wait,
ah, there
wow.
we go. It's Wednesday.
Nah. And
we're going to be talking about Magic the Gathering. Mm. Apparently, they've decided to get into a street fight. And we'll discuss the Neon Destiny of Kamigawa, tips and tricks, and then maybe that more. But of course, the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com. It's going to have our blogs, podcasts, and more. Just search BJ Shea's Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, and the Odyssey app to find us.
Yeah, many ways to get a hold of us, and please do so. We love to get feedback and, you know, just any recommendations, those fun things that you've been doing that is geeky. One of those things is Magic the Gathering. It's been a standard for us for quite a long time now. One thing that is not and is a fairly new thing are the secret lairs. And this, I don't know if it necessarily started with the Godzilla ones, but it was around that time, right?
Yeah, kind of where they do the crossover IPs.
Yeah, exactly. And it was Godzilla mixing with new cards. Some of them were actual cards, some of them were not. And they have come out with a new one that very intriguing for me on this one. Street Fighter X, or Secret Lair X Street Fighter, available in both regular and foil editions. And you're like, wait a minute, Street Fighter? Yes, the classic video game. And this is, I love the description on this. Here comes a new challenger. The legendary World Warriors of Street Fighter are ready to battle in Magic the Gathering. Up the competition with cards for each of the 8 playable games. Characters featured in the original release of Street Fighter 2. With these fighters in your deck or collection, Shadowloo doesn't stand a chance. And so, yeah, it's the original 8 fighters that you could play, the selectable characters from the original one. So it includes E. Honda, the sumo champion, Ryu, the world warrior, Ken, the burning brawler, Blanca, the ferocious friend, Chun-Li, countless kicks, Dhalsim, pliable pacifist, Guile, sonic soldier, and Zangief, the red cyclone. So all of the original 8 players.
Yes, not legal in constructed formats, I believe.
Yeah.
So these are mostly for your commander and decks like that.
Yeah, exactly. So if you have like some fun decks or you want to build something, which would actually be kind of fun, would be to get these and have it, you know, maybe even being like those, the kind of the mini commanders or something like that. Just build a 60 card deck that revolves around each of these creatures, because they do run the gamut of all of the different colors. Characters like Ryu and E. Honda are both just plain white as the characters. Ken is red. And then the other ones go into the gold sections, with Blanca being red-green, which makes sense. Chun-Li being white-blue, which is kind of interesting on that. Dhalsim being green-white. Guile being 3 colors. We get into the big ones with red, white, and blue. Because he's an army fighter.
Got it.
There we go. And Zangief, which is black, red, and green, which is Jund, which is kind of makes sense in terms of like big monsters sort of things.
He's a great art, dude. He's choking a bear.
Dude, yeah. Like the art on this is fantastic. Like these are, this is really, really, really good art. And the abilities are, they really kind of encompass what you would imagine from like a top tier Street Fighter. And just even running down, these are fantastic. E. Honda has Sumo Spirit, which is, as long as your turn, each character or each creature assigns combat damage equal to its toughness rather than its power, which is a very strong, I guess it was a tree folk ability that came down with, I think, Doran the Siege Tower was like one of the first ones.
Way back in Lauren, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, way back in the day. So they would have very little power, but they'd have big butts. And that's the same thing with E. Honda here. His defense is 7. He's got 0 power. But when it's his turn, essentially he's a 7-7. Then it gets into his other ability, which is a 100-hand slap. So whenever he attacks, up to 100 target creatures each get +0/+X until end of turn, where X is the number of cards in your hand.
Wow.
So if you say maybe you have a gigantic mono white token deck and he has an entire army, and say maybe you have 100 tokens out there, and say maybe you just happen to have 7 cards in your hand and you attack with all of those guys get now +0/+X, which if you just do the quick math on E-Honda, that turns into him doing 14 damage. By himself,
yeah.
Up to another 100 creatures. I mean, 100 creatures is kind of ridiculous, but we've also seen that in one of the old Theros cards, where it was literally the creature could block up to 100 creatures.
They love the flavor.
Yeah, it's absolute flavor when it comes down to that. Ryu has training, so whenever this creature attacks with another creature with greater power, put a +1/+1 counter on this creature. So Ryu starts at a 2/4, but if he's going with larger powered creatures, he will start getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then, of course, he's got to do the Hadouken.
Of course.
Which I love because of the fact that it is a red ability, but it also uses an old unused untap ability, which is very, very powerful. And it's 4 colorless and a red mana, and untap him and discard a card. He deals damage equal to his power to any target. If excess damage was dealt to a creature this way, draw a card. So this is very strong in terms of, I'm going to attack with him. Before you declare blockers, I can untap him and Hadouken something.
Yep.
Like
it.
Yeah, which is fantastic.
Very defensive.
Yeah. Ken, Burning Brawler, is red. He's a 4/2 with Prowess, which is another old school ability that just says, whenever you cast a non-creature spell, this creature gets +1/+1 until end of turn. And then for a red or a white, he gains first strike until end of turn. And then he's got the Shoryuken, which is the big flaming uppercut that he does. And whenever he deals combat damage, you may cast a sorcery spell from your hand with the mana value less than or equal to the damage without paying its mana cost. And he starts at 4.
These are some powerful cards.
Yeah, these are, and this makes sense as to why they wouldn't be legal.
Yeah,
in like, I mean, in like any sort of like constructed format.
Yeah, could you imagine? Oh man,
no.
I think that we'd have some more Reddit threads on our hand if they did.
Dude, right? Blanka has haste, which makes sense. He's a 5/5 monster for 5. Rolling attack. He has trample for as long as you cast 3 or more spells this turn, which is interesting in terms of, I could see that being very powerful in even like a cascade type of deck, or like just something where you have maybe a lot of those spells that can replenish themselves. I think like metamorphose or any
the cantrips,
of the, like, or cantrips or something like that. And then also he's got his good old electric thunder. Whenever he becomes the target of a spell, he gets +2/+2 until end of turn and deals 2 damage to each opponent, which is a huge deterrent for them to try to like a lightning bolt or do direct damage to. Obviously something like a Doom Blade or like just a destroy target creature isn't going to do a whole lot to save him.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, at least he'll deal 2 damage.
And commanders can be recast, which is also the great part.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this one seems like really fun if you just have a lot of beasties in this sort of deck.
Peace.
Or just a lot of lightning bolts, because, I mean, he does cast lightning. I really like that.
He does have lightning.
Chun-Li has multi-kicker. Because she has all her lightning
shocking
kicks. Yeah. So for a blue or a white, she does multi-kicker, and when she enters the battlefield, exile up to X target instant cards from your graveyard, where X is the number of times Chun-Li was kicked, and then put a kick counter on each of those. And then her lightning kick ability says whenever she attacks, copy each exiled card you own with a kick counter on it. You can cast those copies each at the time.
That's a lot of spells.
That's a lot of spells. So if you can sink some mana, and she's only 3/3/3, so even early on, that's a pretty strong card, pretty powerful card if you don't have a lot of instants that you can deal that with. But that's super, super amazing when it comes down to it. Dhalsim has reach, which makes sense because he can stretch his arms. That's super funny.
So stretchy.
He's also got teleport. He can he has hex proof unless he's attacking, which again makes sense for his pacifist ways. And then whenever a creature you control with reach attacks him, untap it, and it can't be blocked by creatures with greater power this combat. And then whenever one or more creatures you control deals combat to a player, draw a card.
I like cards.
that's an interesting aspect, because a lot of the times we would see a card, it would be maybe a black-blue card or just a blue card doing this. This is a green-white card that's doing that. Has white, and I know green's been getting a lot of card draw. Has white been getting card draw in the recent years?
Everyone has been, yeah.
Okay.
Kind of moved towards everyone can draw cards now.
Okay, I guess that makes sense in that sort of term.
But that's a powerful card to draw. I guess more than one creature can draw cards.
Yeah, exactly. Or even just like mixing him alongside with someone like E. Honda. Just because the fact that, more cards means more power means, and he's got a 1/3, so if he's suddenly doing more with that, he's got a smaller power, but he's still dealing damage with his defense.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. You can play them all in the same deck, but which
one? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is a lot of fun. I love it. Guile, again, like I said, red, white, and blue, and a colorless for 4/4. Whenever he enters the battlefield or attacks, put a charge counter on him or remove one from him. When you remove a counter this way, choose one. Sonic Boom! He can deal four damage to any target, or flash kick, he gains lifelink and indestructible until end of turn.
Wow.
Yeah, that's really good.
Woo.
And I think my personal favorite, Mr. Bear himself, Zangief, he must be blocked if able. So he's got that kind of lure on there. Not all of them, but he must be blocked. He's got Iron Muscle. As long as it's his turn, as long as it's your turn, he has indestructible, which is helpful because he is 7/4, so he's got a little bit less defense. And then he's got the good old spinning pile driver. When he deals damage to a creature, if that creature was dealt excess damage this turn, that creature's controller sacrifices a non-creature, non-land permanent.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, and that even kind of reminds me of just the fact that, and it's kind of reminiscent of even just like when they would, the bonus scenes where you destroy the barrels or you would destroy the car at the dock, that sort of thing. It's like he's doing so much damage he's literally doing more damage to the area with that gigantic spinning pile driver.
Yeah, he's a crowd favorite.
Yeah, and this, I've been, back and forth when it comes to these secret lairs when they first came out. I feel something along these lines is pretty awesome. Like, they got the flavor. They can understand that. It's not going to affect your tournament play. If you want them, you can get them. If you don't want them, you don't even have to worry about them. They're not gonna affect how you play the game. And again, it's that sort of thing. It's like if you bring it to, like, your local game store to participate in Commander Night, just make sure everyone's cool with it when they're playing it, because they are kind of outside of that realm.
Yeah, Commander groups are generally pretty open to everything, because it's just for fun. And I don't think these cards are any more powerful than a legendary card you could find these days. I mean, there's so many powerful commanders.
That's the thing that's just like, and even just what we're going to be talking about, just the newest set, like seriously, like Kamigawa Neon Destiny is the 91st set for Magic.
Wow.
That they've almost got 100 sets out there, and that's not including these secret lairs or these ridiculous things. And there's so many cards out there. Yes, these ones do some special things, and these ones really kind of fulfill the flavor of a non-magical thing because they're reaching outside, and they've been doing that with a bunch of stuff at this point in time. And it just kind of makes it more accessible. There will be people who didn't really necessarily care about Magic, knew their friends played it, but they're going to be all in when it comes down to Street Fighter, or even the people who have their favorite Street Fighter characters. And to be perfectly honest, this opens it up to having the second set where you can have the bosses. And if they want to do another 8-card set, they can do from like Street Fighter, the one where they had the like Cammy and Fei Long and DJ and Thunderhawk. And then just with like, Vega, Balrog,
Vega.
Yeah,
right.
Dude, Vega would be amazing as a character because he's got to have flying at that point, or at least can like tap to fly because of that stupid jump attack.
Yeah, jump. I don't even know what it would be, but something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So super amazing on all of that. I'm pretty stoked when it comes down to all that.
If you don't want to buy that secret lair set, well, let me tell you, you can go on to wizards.com/magic and find some set you want to buy.
Oh, yeah.
They have everything.
Yeah. We've talked previously, like I said, the Godzilla one, but also even the Walking Dead that they've done. They've done a whole bunch of different ones. And I mean, eventually they'll probably just do everything at this point.
Yeah. They released recently some oh, what do you call it? Synthesizer lands, whatever, music lands or whatever. They're essentially that cool like 70s, 80s retro look. Oh, dude.
Oh,
they're
I'm gonna amazing. Look those up, it's, man.
You could find way too much stuff to spend your money on.
Now, moving on, like we did talk about the fact that Kamigawa Neon Destiny is out. And this is the one that almost got me back in. Like, this is like they went and they took a traditional Japanese plane and updated it 1,200 years in the future and turned it cyberpunk. And you've had a chance to play it.
I have.
How extensively have you been playing this?
Maybe when it first came out, I think in total I've done about 20 drafts. But when it first came out, I drafted a bunch with my friends online on Magic Arena and had a fantastic time.
Oh,
had
really?
Had something like an 80 to 90% win rate through 15 drafts, which is absurd.
Dude.
You know,
yeah.
Really enjoyed it. Loved all the themes, you know, the artifact and enchantments that matter in this format. Just create so much depth to what you can do in the draft and in the games outside the draft. The art. Don't even get me started. I can't stop talking about how Magic is an art first game these days.
Yes, and that was, I mean, even back in the day, that was what pulled me in. Just like the first time I ever saw Fireball. Like, it was just so striking, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And now, like I said, with that cyberpunk aesthetic, but also just even leaning into, like, traditional yet futuristic on all of the aspects is really, really beautiful.
There are big dragons. You get me with big dragons, okay? You know, they got, like, 9 arts on them. They all look great. You just can't go wrong these days with any kind of Magic product. Magic Limited is amazing. Balance is always a thing that you can argue, right?
Mm-hmm.
What should I be able to do? How often should I be able to win? I hate when it comes down to that for people because, to me, you're playing a game. It's like when we were talking about Elden Ring
yeah.
in the last podcast. There's no wrong way to play a game if you're just trying to have fun.
Yes. And that was one of my best friends had a game store for a while. And when I was younger, I would get tilted when it comes to Magic. And it would be like, well, I'm supposed to win. And he said something that was just, it was just Commander, but it was one of those things that kind of struck with me. It was like, yeah, he won, but now we get to play another game.
Exactly.
And that's like the whole thing. It's like, yeah, sure, you're not going to win every game. And even playing something like Apex Legends on, you know, on a PlayStation, it's like, you're not going to win every game. Just go and have fun. And it's hard to get into that mindset, especially with something like Magic, where it gets personal because you're making your deck and you want it to do its best.
Yeah, and you know, I talked about win rate, but the thing that I like about when I have fun during a pre-release, right, is like I might win more, but I actually have more fun as the format goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And like when it actually goes down, which is kind of the example I'm trying to make, because you get to enjoy more of the cards. The concept of rares and mythics and things, you don't open them very often. You don't get to play with the cards very often. I know the commons and uncommons by my, you know, 10th draft.
Yeah, yeah, you know exactly what's good, what's not, what's going to work.
But understanding the complexities of staying open in your colors and finding the rares that people don't like and that kind of thing, it's just so much fun. And the themes throughout each draft change because of how much diversity there is in the different archetypes, you know, because enchantments matter in this format,
mm-hmm.
artifacts matter in this format, samurais, creature types matter in this format, even instances of sorceries matter in this format, sagas matter in this format, which are the new enchantments.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're trying to have fun, I think that for me, you want to start off by being able to do whatever you want to do within the draft, which is I'm just going to play red or I'm just going to play green.
Yeah.
And then as you play more and more, you see the different things you can do. And then you get that replayability and it draws you in and you just want to keep playing. And Magic Arena, guys, it's so cheap. It's really not that bad. If you've played Magic, because I've played paper Magic.
I play a lot of paper Magic too.
It is like buying a new car. The second that you open that pack, you have lost money. But that's fine, because that is an investment you're willing to make. But Arena is, I mean, they give you, I would say, a free draft every week if you just go on and do your dailies.
Really?
Yeah, your free daily quests.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, yes, it will cost a little bit of money to play the game.
Yeah, it's like any hobby, really, to be perfectly honest.
But the payoff is there. The amount of time and effort that the Wizards of the Coast community has put in to each one of these sets, including all the arts and, you know, the special product they put out. I mean, you're gonna be blown away. And after you're done with the limited format, you can go play Constructed for free.
Yeah, and then you can just figure out what you got with those cards and then even just figure out the best aspect you want to do with that. The way that they do to try to get, because a lot of the times you're going to want to have multiple copies of cards, depending usually, you know, between 1 to 4 is like the usual. It's still 4, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And so when you're looking at that, you can finally kind of figure out what archetype you want to play in Constructed, and the way they have it so you can get those extra cards if you need them. Once you get the first card of that, you can sink some gems in to get multiple copies and make that happen. So there's a lot of ways that you can get to that point instead of just hoping to crack packs or have to trade, because there's no trade feature on Magic Arena, which is probably for the best when it comes down to it.
Yeah, and it seems daunting to get cards. It's not that daunting as long as you're, I don't want to say smart about it, but you have an idea of what you want.
Yeah.
Like if you want to build the green white deck, save your wild cards. You'll be fine. You'll be able to do it relatively quickly. Now, if you're like me and you get a little greedy and you want to build all 1,000 decks possible of every format, well, you might have to play a little
bit
more.
That's where you become a whale then, yeah.
You may take my money.
So, yeah, and again, at that point, even when we talked, we just mentioned Elden Ring. Like, if you want to build a deck like that, or if you want to have, like, the best draft archetype, or you want to kind of see where things are, doing a little bit of research online will go a really long way. To be perfectly honest, though, with, like, Magic Arena, like, it's so accessible now at this point in time. Like, you can go out there, still go in fairly blind and have a fun time, because even the tutorial system, when it comes down to this, if you've never played Magic before, I 100% suggest you check it out on Arena, because it gives you the step-by-step. It's a lot less daunting when it comes down to it. And, I mean, still go to your local gaming stores, especially on pre-release days, because those are the days where everyone's there to have fun. They want to figure out how things are going to work. And a lot of the times, it's super newbie-friendly.
Yeah, I always say Magic Arena is your Monday through Thursday game. It's great for when you're off of work or on the bus or something like that, because it's on mobile as well. Friday, boom, that's your LGS.
Yeah.
Friday night drafts, Friday night constructed.
Friday night magic, you know, man. It used to be a thing, and they're still throwing stuff out there. So
it's coming back, baby.
I know. It's like, thank goodness we can go out there and play Magic. It's interesting to see all the game stars. And I mean, we've had Dylan from around here as well. Just, you know, hanging out, playing Magic one-on-one or in a group, and just that setting where it's not just having to play online. You have that aspect, and you have that community interaction, which helps out a lot.
Yeah, I feel people do rage a lot less when they're playing against someone that they can see across the table, as opposed to their computer that's just they're banging their head against.
Can confirm.
Yes.
100% on that. So, a good way to check it out, a good starting point is with all of that. And now it is time for
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
What do you got going on, Vicky?
Okay. So one thing that Rev and I love to do is we send each other memes and posts of like funny zodiac sign things based on our zodiacs. And I don't necessarily follow the zodiac thing like to a T. Like I'm not a horoscope base my life around it, but I love reading little tidbits, especially the really funny ones.
The ones that I love are the ones that are silly, but also still have a little bit of gem of like the person. Like, yeah, there's a lot of the times where it's something along the lines, especially with you, Vicky. It's you know, it's like easily distracted, and then so
or
some other
someone
things.
That's like very like has to have everything in a certain order and way, neat and organized. And yours is a little bit more of chaos, but also leave me the hell alone.
Yeah, a lot of leave me the hell alone is it's kind of my mantra, to be perfectly honest.
So there is from the New York Post, I guess, there's a list of characters, of Batman characters, and how they align with astrology.
Ooh.
So I know Rev is Taurus.
Yes, I am.
So who do you think would be yours?
For Batman characters, are we talking heroes and villains, or mostly just heroes on this one?
Everyone.
Do we have a list of what a Taurus is?
Well, the Taurus is the bull.
It's
the bull.
April 20th to May 20th.
And we have like they are naturally, you know, introverted with a little bit of spice.
Here, I'll read the description without telling you the character's name.
Okay.
It's like they have Taurus's tenacity and rises to every occasion with courage and strength.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Okay.
Okay, so that means it feels like it would be a heroic character. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to say Nightwing.
No, that one's actually further down from a different month.
So Nightwing is in it, but not me. Okay.
No.
What about, Commissioner Gordon?
Oh, I want to be Commissioner Gordon.
Mm, I don't see Commissioner Gordon anywhere on here. That's
he should be in that. That should be Taurus. Commissioner Gordon is Taurus. Wait, well, what do they say?
Batwoman.
I don't know anything about Batwoman. I know that Ruby Rose played Batwoman on the show for a season, and that's all I know about Batwoman.
I think they might also be, like, because there was, like, Batwoman was, like, Batgirl. I think that might be kind of the same thing.
Batwoman and Batgirl are different.
But, like some people... I thought like there was a while where the Batwoman was somebody else that wasn't like the Ruby Rose portrayal, because that one was portrayed by, I think the character's last name was something Kane, and she was like a lesbian with like really red
Kate
hair.
Kate Kane. Yeah. I just had to look it up right now. Yeah. So yeah.
That just makes sense.
The quick character of it, just looking online quickly. Trained by the military, Kate Kane was an heiress inspired to fight crime by the Dark Knight's example after he rescued her from a mugger. So, I mean, that's just the base one line on that one. So that's pretty cool.
And what are you, Joe?
I am a Scorpio.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Based on everything I read about Scorpios and stuff, people always saying, oh no, Scorpios. And it makes sense because my little brother's a Scorpio. He's 3 and he's a menace. And everyone seems to say Scorpios are menaces. So that's
Joe, you're
why
not a menace. I don't think you're a menace.
I'm a neutered Scorpion.
Oh, right. Wow.
Well, Scorpio, they say that they have an energy that draws in the curiosity and desire of those around them. Total Scorpio.
Catwoman.
Yeah.
Yeah, because cats are curious.
Oh.
Yeah, Joe, you're a cat.
I got a tail.
You got everyone that draw in the curiosity and desire of those around you.
This is fun. Great in latex.
Oh,
you do look great in latex.
I'm going to pass on those pictures. Check out Joe's OnlyFans.
You're missing out.
All right, let's see if you guys can guess mine. Mine's a Virgo.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're humble, empathetic, and resourceful like a Virgo.
Apathetic?
Empathetic.
Empathetic. I thought I said end pathetic. I was like, no, you're not. Okay, so say that again. Because I misheard that and I just cut.
Humble, empathetic, and resourceful like a Virgo.
Okay.
Ooh, Robin.
You're saying Robin.
Mm-hmm.
Resourceful. I'm going to say the Riddler.
No. It's actually someone I don't think you're even thinking of at all.
Okay.
And it's like Alfred Pennyworth.
Oh, okay.
I was like, he's not super a cool one, but that definitely, if I had to base it off of everything else I've read about the Virgo thing, I'm like, he makes sense. Because he has everything kind of figured out.
Yeah, and he is the resourceful one. He's the one that usually provides the stuff for, like, you know, like Bruce Wayne / Batman will ask for a thing, and it's up to Alfred to make that happen.
That's true.
Which is no easy task, by the way.
I'll go down and read the other ones, too.
Yeah, this is fun.
Number one is Aries, which is from March 21st to April 19th, is Batman. Brave, bold, and familial. Bruce's dedication to his Bat family embodies Aries's fearful, loyal nature.
Okay.
We already did Taurus, which is April 20th through May 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Gemini is May 21st to June 20th. They're the Riddler. His coy and mysterious behavior is seductive and mesmerizing like Gemini's.
Geminis are mysterious.
Like, I only know this based off of, there's an episode of Big Mouth where Maury says something like, oh, Mercury is in retrograde. And he's like, oh, can you knock it off with the astrology stuff? He's like, ah, spoken like a two-faced effing Gemini. And I was like, oh, okay, so they're two-faced.
Yeah, well, and the Gemini symbols are the twins.
Yes.
And so it's like, it's essentially like, yeah, it's like, you'll say one thing, but possibly do another, and not to be like duplicitous, but it's literally just like
in your nature.
Yeah, it's just in your nature. It's just like, oh no, well, I'm going to do this thing now. And you're like, but why? You said you're going to do that. You're like, well, not just because I thought I was going to do that thing.
Cancer is June 21st through July 22nd, and it's Poison Ivy. She has a feisty and captivating personas like Cancer's. Leos are July 23rd to, wait, oh, yeah, August 22nd. I'm like, wait, am I on this? No, I'm not.
You're not. you're like right on the edge there.
Yes. Nightwing. He's stunning and elegant and easy on the eyes, like Leo.
See, I was hoping I was Nightwing.
Yeah.
Because I'm stunning and
so
easy
close
on the eyes.
And my best friend is a Leo, so we're always, it's always like beauty, like, oh, just gorgeous and stunning.
So beautiful. If you want to look online, you can find my picture of me and my mullet when I was in high school. I had a delicious,
stunning,
golden mullet. It looked like a lion's mane. I can't even get it out. But that was, I tried.
I don't know if I've ever heard anyone describe a mullet with the word delicious, but we might have to do that.
I don't know why I did that either, but that's where we are now in our lives.
I'm just picturing the mullet from Peacemaker, the chick at the beginning.
Oh, dude. Yeah, you're not really wrong.
No. That was a delicious mullet. The Virgo's already said, but that's August 23rd to September 22nd. Libra, September 23rd to October 22nd is Robin. He has an extroverted and spontaneous nature like Libra's, not to mention also easygoing and ready for whatever adventure is ahead. Scorpio, we already said, October 23rd through November 21st. Sagittarius, November 22nd to December 21st is Batgirl. She has a fiery spark and indomitable spirit and always picks herself back up, much like a Sagittarius.
That sounds... well, my wife is a Sagittarius.
My and brother the, and that, sir, your yeah, sister are.
Yeah, that indomitable usually means stubborn and whatever, I'll do what I want.
Fiery spark. Oh, my God, that sounds like your sister.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, straight up, yeah.
My brother is kind of the same way, except the other brother that's not a Scorpio, the non-3-year-old, the 30-year-old. He's very much like... Yeah, whatever. I'll do what I want. But not so in your face about it. He's like, I'm just going to do whatever.
Yeah. He won't worry about telling you what he's going to do because he's just going to do what he wants.
He's already did it.
Yep.
Capricorn, December 22nd through January 19th is Ra's al Ghul. He's legendary, enduring, and wise. And also like Capricorn, he is constantly reborn after death, stronger and better than before.
Is that what you can just do as a Capricorn?
You cannot. You're not a phoenix if you're a Capricorn.
I was about to ask. I was like, oh,
no one else got cool superpowers.
Right? You get superpowers as a Capricorn.
The idea of like when you start anew and kind of reset your life.
Yeah.
Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th is the Joker. He has a perspective and quick-witted nature like Aquarius's. Also a je ne sais quoi that holds the affections of other like Harley Quinn and Batman.
Okay, yeah, super charming, and usually sometimes in the wrong ways.
In Pisces, which is February 19th to March 20th, is Scarecrow, an endless dreamer, and much like Pisces, he digs into the minds, souls, and motivations of everyone he meets.
Yeah, just keep him away from the fear chemicals.
I was trying to remember why I know je ne sais quoi.
Je ne sais
and
quoi.
And it's actually because of the Harley Quinn series.
Really?
Where Dr. Psycho says something. It's like, I got a certain je ne sais quoi about me. I was like, how do I know that? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you said it right, too. I was like, wow, good job. You know French.
I just know that because I watched another DC show.
Well, it all worked out together perfectly.
Well, let us know what you guys think. Is yours accurate, would you say? Maybe, yes, no. And until next time, stay nerdy.